Welcome to week three, in which we're going to begin talking about stereotype threat and some related issues that you should understand. Now, to understand the idea of stereotype threat, let's just start. I'm a sort of an amateur etymologist. I like the origin of words, although I have no formal training there. But the origin of the word stereotype I find to be very informative as we think about stereotypes. Stereotype comes as opposed to movable type. Back before 1922, as far as I can tell, this was a purely technical term. There was movable type, where individual letters were on their own block, and stereotype. Stereo just meaning solid, meaning the whole page is all together in one big chunk. And starting in 1922, there became this analogy where people would talk about how people were making decisions as if they were based on a stereotype. In other words, you grab one letter and you get the whole page instead of just the letter. You see one aspect about something and you get to the whole expression. This we learned about last week under a different name of a schema. The purpose of each schemata in your head is to take information that comes out and provide more information, to look at a piece of code and say bad code and so forth. That's great when they're working appropriately after education, but they also just learn patterns in the world. They develop these stereotypes. So you might, based purely on what somebody looks like, think, ooh, they probably aren't a computer scientist, when clearly appearance has no correlation with this in truth, even if it does in practice, right? So this is a system of where your brain grabs what it notices, even if that what it notices happens to be based on something that shouldn't be informing your decisions. We're going to talk a lot more about this general idea of stereotypes and some other things, implicit bias and so on, that it causes in days to come. But first, we're going to talk about stereotype threat. What do we mean by stereotype threat? Stereotype threat is a very specific psychological phenomenon that has been studied in hundreds of papers. It involves effectively three criteria for it to work. If you are aware of a negative stereotype about your group, some group you identify with or you expect others will identify you with. If these three criteria apply, then the consequence is that you have less working memory available. You do worse at anything requiring your brain. Hey, this is the phenomena of stereotype threat. Awareness of negative stereotypes about your group will reduce your available working memory and therefore impede all of your cognitive activities because you have less to work with. Let's see if we can explain at a brief high level how these studies have verified this exists. There's broadly two kinds of studies that I'll discuss. They're both controlled studies. So in both cases, we're going to do two studies. One of them is going to be a case where the stereotype threat does exist. Another one is going to be a case where the stereotype threat doesn't exist. Exactly how we create these two scenarios, we'll talk about another lesson in today, this week. But for now, we're just going to say, trust us, we can create these scenarios. We're also going to get a stereotypically good group and a stereotypically bad group, which I'll just let represent with the letters A and F. You know, these aren't F students. Let's do A and C. How about that? Okay. So people that are good, people that aren't as good, stereotypically. We're not saying whether they really are or not. We're saying the stereotype says their group should or shouldn't be good at what we're measuring. One kind of these studies will find that in the stereotype threat present case, which is generally what we consider to be the control, the normal case, stereotype threat, awareness of negative stereotypes about your group is the default for people who are in stereotypically bad groups. We'll find out the stereotype is false. We measure them, they perform exactly the same. But if we can do something to remove that stereotype, we'll realize that that stereotypically bad group is actually a lot better. The stereotype is backwards. This is one kind of study we'll see. The other kind of study we'll see, a lot of the same kinds of ideas, okay? We still have our stereotypically good and not so good groups. We still are having a case with stereotype and threat and a case without it. What we're going to find here is that the stereotype appears to be true initially, and if we remove the stereotype threat, it turns out to be false. And we can do this with the same stereotype. We take the same groups of people, the same kind of thing we're measuring, and get these two different kinds of results. Now, this is not a full class in how we do social sciences, okay? But there's an explanation as to how this happens. The main difference here has to do with selection bias. And this is worth understanding as you're teaching classes where stereotypes might apply. So a classic study here in this first camp actually was done with a calculus test for high school students. And what happens is to get to a calculus class in high school, you have to have done well in multiple previous math classes in the normal stereotype present environment. And so what happens is the stereotypically good group, whether this is a racial or an ethnic or a gender or whatever the stereotype is, the stereotypically good group have had all of their working memory available. The stereotypically bad group has had only a part of it, but they all had to achieve at the same level to get into the class. And when we remove the stereotype threat, we find that the stereotypically bad group now was able to perform just fine with, say, 2/3 of their working memory, and now they have more working memory. They can do so much more. In the other case, a classic example here they did with miniature golf, is one of the earliest studies I have seen in this space. They brought in people who were not golfers, who were not good at golf, and they created a stereotypical or non-stereotypical environment, and they showed that because the people had no existing ability, they are selected randomly from the overall population, having that stereotype threat reduced their ability to think about what they ought to do. Removing it caused them to be able to perform at an equal level. Either way, we find this same phenomena. Awareness of a negative stereotype about you reduces your ability to perform, reduces your ability to cognate, reduces your available working memory. I want to note also, before we close this portion of introducing this concept, something that was not on this list. Belief. Belief was not on this list. Note, whether you believe the stereotype or not doesn't seem to have impact. Now, why would that be? Understanding why is harder than understanding what. Creating various studies where we show that the presence or absence of stereotype threat impedes performance, that we can do consistently and reliably. Showing why that happened involves interviewing people and trying to interpret it and is not as robust. But in general, if you do believe, then there is sort of, you have some sort of fear or anxiety that you're operating at a disadvantage and you're likely to fail. And that fear or anxiety will occupy a portion of your working memory, right? So you'll have this sort of anxiety in one of those slots, leaving only 2 slots of working memory to do your work with. If you don't believe, that isn't generally the case. Instead, there is a pressure to represent. When you're aware of a negative stereotype about people like you, typically you also expect other people to judge your entire group based on your performance. Imagine for a moment, because as a computer science teaching assistant class, I'm going to assume you're all computer scientists, imagine you went in to do some study, maybe a study about, I don't know, drawing skills. And you look around the room and there's 100 people and you're the only computer scientist. And the person in the front says, all right, we're trying to figure out who is better at this, computer scientists or not. And then they give you some sort of task. The pressure to represent all computer scientists result in a conclusion in the mind of the person giving the study that computer scientists are good or bad at drawing depending on your performance. It'd be a huge pressure. Now, it doesn't have to be explicit there, but when you're aware that people are thinking about this, when they're bringing your attention to this stereotype, this pressure is sort of always there. And that pressure, that fear of letting down your whole group, occupies a portion of your working memory, leaving less available for others. Certainly not the only way this could be happening. Again, it's hard to know what's really going on in people's minds. But again, whether you believe it or not, doesn't seem to have a particular impact on the stereotype threat itself. So, this is the concept of stereotype threat. Being aware of a negative stereotype about your group will reduce your working memory, and therefore reduce your ability to learn and perform. And so, as educators, we want to try to interrupt at least one of these three things. They're not all equally easy to interrupt, right? Changing what group people feel they belong to is certainly more challenging and not necessarily even ethical compared to changing their awareness of this stereotype and so forth. But all of these can be combated in some degree, and combating them is important if we want all of our students to have all of their minds available to do the work and the learning that we're handling. I should, in interest of completeness, also talk just a little bit about this idea of stereotype boost. Okay? If knowing you are in the negative group impedes performance, does knowing you're in the positive group ever increase performance? I have seen, let's say, in the neighborhood of 1 to 5% of papers show there's a stereotype boost, somewhere in this range. Which, considering papers get published at the 95% confidence interval, is likely to be random noise. We see more evidence of this in athletics, in particular in team athletics. There is some understanding that believing you're the best and everybody else is worse will actually make you perform better. There's also some counter evidence, even in that space. I'm not aware of any significant evidence and more than a single standalone study, not replicable. That stereotype boost exists outside of that sort of space. So, in the academic space that we're dealing with, occasionally you'll see this reference, but as far as I can tell from the research so far, not really a thing. Instead, what we see and here is that this stereotypically good group, there's no real difference in performance depending on how the awareness of the stereotype the group has or not. It's only the stereotypically bad group that sees some penalty or boost. By penalty by having it present, an increase by having it removed. And so there's sort of no downside to removing it. It doesn't hurt anybody, can help some people. And so this is something we're going to want to do. So in subsequent lessons in this week, we're going to sort of talk about some specifics of how this can work. I would encourage you, before going on to the next thing though, to ponder what activities you could take to reduce one of these three activities, one of these three elements for a group that is stereotypically not as good at computing as others. We'll discuss some in the next video.